on this frequency.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hello, hello, welcome back. Welcome to another episode. Glad to have you with us. Please do remember, give us a comment, a like, a share, a subscribe. It all helps to spread the word far and wide, which in turn also helps our guests get even more coverage. And talking of guests, today's guest, this is a gentleman called Keith Button. So yes, it's going to be the Keith and Keith show. We actually both we're both members of the same network, so when we're in network meetings, it does get amusing every time, without fail. Let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Button. As a serial entrepreneur, Keith has fought against a number of mental and physical challenges to establish his current position. Now, having worked as a civil servant, a programmer, a business analyst, and most recently as an acknowledged GDPR expert, Keith truly brings a lifetime of experience to the table. His favorite quote from clients is, "You're the only person we've ever met who can make GDPR enjoyable." And that is no mean feat. If you know anything about GDPR, you'll know exactly why that is why Keith is so proud to be known as that man. That's my guest today, Keith Button. Let's bring him in. Hello, Keith. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. So, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you with us. We both know each other through the same networks and so on. We hang around in the same places. But we're going to be covering some stuff today, which I don't really know about you either, and I know a lot of people won't. It's going to be quite an interesting and eye-opening episode. Before we dive into all of that, though, we've heard your bio. Who is Keith Button? Who is the man behind the bio?
Oh, good question, Keith. I like to think that I'm that approachable guy. You know, I like to think that I'm there to help people. And I've an adage when I'm training people is that no question is too stupid. Because the chances are, in any room, if you get one person who doesn't understand a question or doesn't understand the thing and has a question, someone else in the room will have the same question too. They just may not be brave enough to ask it. And so I like to be able to help people to spread my knowledge, because I'm also a firm believer that no one has a monopoly on good ideas. And by working together with other people, then that's how we get things to work, rather than being in competition with other people.
Yeah, no, I love that. Two great points you raised there. And I think that whole thing about if you don't know something, somebody else in the room will probably also not know it. And if you're then the one who's brave enough to say, "Excuse me, I don't understand this, can you explain?" You benefit. And if, as you say, the other person will go, "Oh, thank goodness somebody asked that, because I've no idea." Yeah. I love that. So, Keith, tell us a little bit about, I mean, we know you're a serial entrepreneur. Tell us about some of the businesses that you've...
Oh, crikey, yeah. I've done all sorts, from being an IT contractor, mainly doing IT security. I've done IT security in all its various forms. And so I had a company doing that. I actually was a partner in the first company to bring Phileas Fogg tortilla chips into the UK. Which was fascinating. I mean, we look at now, I think we started that business from the back of a transit van. Then it just goes to show, maybe we should have stuck with it rather than selling out when we did. But anyway, that's history. So I've done that, done consultancy services, done GDPR training, done document management. Was one of the first four. I'm very much looking always for new innovation. I was one of the first four people to bring electronic document management to the UK. And my partner at the time, I don't think ever quite forgave me, because I went to Ireland to a business conference and saw this stand demonstrating this thing, scanning in pieces of paper and showing them on the screen. And I came back and said, I've just seen the future. I know what I want to do. Unfortunately, my boss at the time didn't agree with me that that was what we wanted to do. So I left and started up on my own, which was just one of the things. But myself and four others, we formed a group, and we actually ran what was called the document management roadshow. And we it was literally us in a truck, and we went to different locations around the country every day of 1 week. Then we had about 6 weeks off from doing it, and then we'd find another five locations and go off and do it again. And it was great fun. And I always remember that when we went to Cardiff was we had good audiences wherever we went, but we went to Cardiff and the room was absolutely packed out. It really was. I've never seen so many people in the room. And I spoke to one of the people at the venue afterwards and said, you know, great day. We've had some great business from it. You know, never realised there were so many people interested in document management in Cardiff or South Wales. And he said, it's not really what you do. He said, no one ever brings business exhibitions to Cardiff. So once there is one, everyone comes along. So it was just, again, just to show sometimes that, you know, just being in the right place, right time is what it's all about. But then went from there. Did various things, I say, and then I had a business coach, and I always remember this lady was my business coach, and she said, I said to her that I thought business coaches were a waste of money, and she said to me, well, work with me for 3 months. If I don't improve your business, then don't pay me anything. So I thought, fair enough, I'll give that a go. So I went with her. She did come up with an idea. She said, instead of being all things to all men, you need to niche down and find one thing that is a niche, which is where I got into GDPR. And I very much, you know, said, find a niche, own a niche. Well, now I became one of the established experts in GDPR. I've written a book, GDPR Made Simple, available on Amazon for $7.99. Also set up my podcast at the time, the GDPR Weekly Show, which ran for some 211 episodes, and then somebody bought it off me, and has never done anything with it since. So it was a competitor who bought it off of me, and I think they bought it just to shut it down rather than actually to continue it, which if I'd known that at the time, I wouldn't have sold it to them. But yeah. Hey ho, as I say, it's what happens.
Got you. Now, sorry, I was just making a note there. I must remember to include the link to your Amazon book in the show notes for the episode. So if people want to find the GDPR book, they'll be able to do that from the show notes. So you've had a good track record of creating businesses and some excellent ideas, etc. None of which is what we're here to talk about. Sounds strange, but there is reason for this. One of the things we often don't realize about anybody, but particularly in businesses and with entrepreneurs, is a lot of them have or can face a lot of health battles. And that's something you have certainly done. You've had more than your share of battles with health. So we're going to explore what those were and how you're able to overcome those and become the person you are today. So give us a little insight into what was going on there, Keith.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, the first major battle for me was back in 2005. 2005 was my anna cerebus. It was my horrible year, because in the April of that year, my partner died. Which was, you know, was shattering. And then on the 7th of July 2005, which most people remember for the London bombings, has a whole different meaning to me, because that was the day I got diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And probably like most people, I didn't know what that was when I, you know, you go to the hospital and the doctor says, you've got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I'm like, that's good, well, bad, or I don't know what. And then I got told it was a blood cancer, but actually also got told that if you're going to have any cancer, it's one of the better ones to have, because the actual survival rate is relatively high.
Encouraging news to hear, I guess.
It was only when I got about halfway through the treatment that a doctor did let slip to me that mine had advanced to the stage that if I hadn't actually sought treatment within another 3 months, I wouldn't be here.
Yes.
And so, you know, that was a bit of a shock. But nonetheless, I was like, okay, I'm going to beat this. And I asked to see the scan, and the consultant was hesitant about showing me the scan and basically said, why do you want to see it? And this is something that, Keith, I know you do lots of things about mind thoughts and so on, you can probably associate with. I needed to see it because then I could fight it.
Mm.
I needed to visualize it. I needed to visualize this thing within me, because then I could fight it. And so went on a battle. It was not pleasant. I lost all my hair. I must admit, losing all your hair. When people say about cancer treatment, they say you're going to lose your hair. People think about the hair on your head, and obviously that's drastic to lose it. I for a while I could do a great impression of Grant Mitchell off EastEnders, but what I don't tell you is you lose all your hair. And I actually discovered in the course of that what eyebrows are for, because when you lose your eyebrows and you go out in the rain, it hurts, because there's nothing to stop the rain getting into your eyes. And of course, most of your eyelashes have gone as well, so it is very painful. Mm-hmm. And so you just stop going out in the rain. But it was really, you know, really not nice. But as you can see, the hair does come back, which is you know, the good thing. It did come back grey, which was a slight shame. But there you go.
At least it came back.
So yeah, I fought that, and that was hard. And then one day, whilst I was in the hospital, this doctor came along to me and said he'd been looking at my notes, and I misheard him at first because I thought he said, "Has anyone ever mentioned Martians to you?" But he didn't actually say Martians; he said Marfans. And Marfan syndrome is a genetic condition, which means that your connective tissue is weak. Which means that over time, you're much quicker than your average person. Your joints wear out. Anything where there's connective tissue wears out. What no one told me at that time was part of that connective tissue is also what lines your main veins. Skipping forward to 2014, one day I went out, one evening I was going to see a friend, walking across the main road, and at that moment, unknown to me, three blood vessels burst in my brain at the same time, which was a bit dramatic. I went down. I didn't believe in doing things by half. The three blood vessels were on this side of my head, and this side of my head I managed to smack onto the edge of the curb. So I got a bleed on that side of my brain as well, which was... And I was incredibly lucky to this day. A lorry was actually coming down the main road, and he... I mean, I didn't know it was. I was out for the count, but... He turned his lorry 90 degrees across the road to stop the traffic.
Oh.
Which was, you know, I owe my life to to him.
Wow.
And apparently, I've never met him, but I have passed on my thanks to him via the police. And the feedback I got from the police via them was that he said he thought he'd just seen me die, because apparently I went straight down with no attempt to save myself or anything. And he was convinced, you know, that I just died, but I hadn't. Of course, I was still very much alive. But that led me to be obviously be in hospital for a long time, and effectively led to me being pretty well paralyzed from the chest down, or I thought. And I got a bit morose, as you would. But I always remember one day, and as to this day, I still do not know whether this doctor did it deliberately or not. It was late at night, and this consultant came along, and she sat on the end of my bed, and she went, "Well, I'm ever so sorry, Mr. Budden, but this is as good as it gets." To which my response was, "Like, it is." I was just over 40 then, and I was like, just over 50 then. And I was like, "No, do you know what? You know, I suddenly had this vision of like I might spend another 20 years just laying there, not able to really do anything." And I was like, "That's not me. That really is not me." But it did get me thinking, because I thought, do you know what? I need to simplify my life, because I just haven't got the brain space to cope with lots of computations. Mm-hmm. And that's where I came up with what I called a 48-hour rule. Now, I don't actually believe I invented the 48-hour rule, but nonetheless, everyone I've mentioned it to says they've never heard it before, and you must have invented it. So I've claimed it now, because I've got it. No one else is going to take it. And
yeah, claim it, Dan.
But it's a whole concept, and I've written, well, I'm in the middle of writing a book about it. But the basic principle is, only ever worry about the next 48 hours. And the concept behind that is to say, anything you've done right up to this moment, anything you've done, good or bad, you can't change it. It's done.
Yeah.
There's no point worrying about it.
Makes sense.
Anything more than 48 hours away, and this is incredibly more true now than it was 8-9 years ago when I originally came up with this, might never happen.
Okay.
And so don't worry about that either.
Yeah.
And so the only thing I worry about is the next 48 hours. And I can say 100% hand on heart that ever since I adopted that mindset, I've not had a single sleepless night. And because you do that, you sleep, again, it's what I call the virtuous circle. You sleep better, you make better decisions, so you sleep better. It becomes a natural cycle. Now, people then say to me, "Well, you know, but if you only think about the next 48 hours, then how do you run your business? Because you don't plan them." Yeah. Well, no, I do plan. I've got a business plan, just like everybody else. I've got a business plan. I know where I want my business to be in 2 years' time, in 3 years' time, in 5 years' time. But I'm not a slave to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference. I think too many people create a plan and they become a slave to their plan.
Yeah.
And I'm not a slave to my plan. Yeah, that's what I hope is going to happen. But part of the thing as well, which I always say to people who say, "Oh, but you've got to have a plan and you've got to stick to your plan and everything else," is I would say, "Okay, let me take you back to December 2019 then. And you show me your business plan, which predicted there was going to be a worldwide pandemic."
Quite, yeah.
and of course, people can't. Yeah. And so that's part of my whole thing, which I now say to people, don't, you know, yes, have a plan. Plan's important. Of course it is. You need to know direction of where you're going. As a saying that comes to mind, if you can't see the job, goal, and you can't see the post, and you're never going to score a goal. So you need the thing. But don't be a safe threat. Don't be afraid to shoot for the stars, because you know at the end of the day, none of us are getting out of this alive. It's a one way ticket. And so make the most of it. And me again, one of my pet things as well is. I hate when you go to a networking meeting, or any meeting after that, but networking meeting come to mind, and yet somebody talking about their business and they sound dead bored of it. Because if you're like, well, if it doesn't excite you,
yeah,
why the hell should it excite anybody? And if you don't excite anybody, they're not going to buy from you.
Yeah, very true.
And so, you know, if you don't have an exciting business, don't get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Because why have? Because, you know, you run your own business, I run my own business. It is a stressful existence. Why give yourself that stress if actually you don't enjoy it? Because then I don't get it. I don't get why people do it.
Yeah, yeah. Very true, yes. If why have all that stress if you're not going to enjoy what you're doing? Quite. I love it. That 48-hour rule, I love that. You are the founder of the 48-hour rule. Own it. Own it for sure. I love that. So basically, as you say, anything that's happened in the past has happened. You can't do anything about it. Anything that's happening way off in the future is too far in the future to concern yourself with. But if you just focus on the next 48 hours, that's where you can have the greatest impact. And that's the bits you can control. I like that. Yeah.
And also, it keeps your to-do list to a realistic length. Yeah, because your to-do list is only the things you're going to do in the next 48 hours. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I can see how that works with a plan as well. You have your plan. This is where I want to take the business. So the plan isn't so much, these are all the steps. The plan is more, that's where I want to go. Over the next 48 hours, what am I doing that gets me in that direction?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I suppose if you're going on a walk, you can't cross a bridge until you come to it, as the saying goes. So
very true.
And that's come about. You feel that's come about as a direct result of what you went through
absolutely. Because up to that point, again, I mean, this is where things make a difference, I think.
Mm.
Up until that point, I'd freely admit that I was a workaholic. Yeah, mm-hmm. I lived to work.
Yeah.
And I always say to people, the difference now is I work to live.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a totally different mindset.
It is, yeah. You're right, yeah.
And it is so important. And again, I mean, if I go back to when I first got diagnosed with lymphoma, outside the oncology unit, outside the cancer unit at the hospital, there was a pond. And when I was having breaks between chemotherapy, I used to go and sit by this pond and look at the ducks. And I was sitting there, and for the first few weeks, feeling really, really sorry for myself. Yeah. And that big sort of, why me?
Mm-hmm.
And then one day sitting there, and I don't know what triggered it. I really, really don't. But I had, if you like, my moment of awakening, if you like, because I changed the mindset to suddenly, well, why the hell not me? What makes me think I'm so special it shouldn't happen to me?
Yeah.
And once you turn it around that way, then it is just, it is just very, very different way of thinking. But it does mean sometimes that way of thinking gets me a little bit into trouble sometimes, I must admit too. I always remember one time because obviously because of this, Marfan's and everything, I'm in our hospital, and touch wood, he says, I've been in hospital for about 18 months now. But I don't know, one particular time I came out of hospital and I'm driving down to Tesco's to get something. And where our local Tesco's is, they've got a car park, but it's often totally full. But there's a residential road that runs beside them where you're not supposed to park. And I parked in this residential road and I got out of my car and I'm walking away from the car. And this lady who lived there came out and she shouted at me. And you can't park there. Blah, 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 blah. I turned around and I went, I'm ever so sorry. And she went, and then I paused and I went, it's a case of mistaken identity. You've mistaken me for someone who gives a damn. and then just carried on walking.
Well, yeah. What can you say to that? Oh, that's great. So, and I, another thing I picked up from there, as you say, where so often we can have that whole, oh, why me? Why did this happen to me? But as you say, well, why not me? It has to happen to something. It happened to someone. Why not me?
Yeah.
As you say, as soon as you flip that, you take all the sting out of it. It's no longer personal. It's just, okay, it's a thing. It happened. It was me it happened to. Okay, deal with it. And suddenly it becomes less of a personal, this is an attack against me. It's more just of a, well, it's a numbers thing. I tossed the coin. I lost this one. Okay, let's.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. Yeah, that's some really powerful, really powerful stuff there. Yeah, I'd be making some notes. Definitely be making some notes. Time is as always marching on against us. I know there's a lot more we could talk about. You have had lots of experience. We'll maybe get you back some point to talk about some of the other bits. Talk about your entrepreneurial journey, and I know you also got involved in local government as well, which is going to make for a really interesting episode to find out the whys and the hows, regardless of what side or which party or anything, just the actually getting involved in local government. So hopefully you'll come back and we can explore that but for now, so you're not non-Hodgkin's. Is that under control? Is it in remission?
It's in remission. So that's, you know, that's all good at the moment. I'm under no illusions. I know that one day it will come back. But equally, again, you know, again, it's a mindset thing. Somebody said to me the other day about. We were talking about things, and they heard about my non-Hodgkin's, they heard about my Marfan's, and they said, doesn't it worry you that one of your other blood vessels could suddenly, you know, go and yeah, it could be catastrophic? And I said, well, yes, it is, but equally, I could go out tomorrow and get run over by a bus. Yes, I'm aware of it. Of course, I'm aware of it. That, don't get me wrong, with both of these things, that there isn't a day that goes by that I don't wake up wishing it wasn't me.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
But at the same time, you live with it. Because a saying of mine that I do like as well is, you know, live every day as if it's your last, because one day you'll be right. But it is important, I think sometimes people are too afraid of the what if, and they spend so much time worrying about the what if they never actually do the thing, and it's like, well, just go for it.
Yeah, as I say, you could spend your entire life going, oh, what if another vessel bursts, but all the time you're worrying about that, you're not living your life. Yeah.
No, that's right. As the old saying goes, you know, when your grandfather's a bus driver, I want to die like my grandfather, peacefully in his sleep, not shouting and screaming like his passengers. You know.
Yeah. Good point. Keith, for those who want to find out a bit more about you, maybe even get in touch or check you out, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best thing is to check out my Linktree, because all my details of different businesses and my contact details are shown on my Linktree, which is link.tree/KeithBudden15. And indeed, there it is on the bottom of the screen.
There you go. Your very own Linktree. Nice. Linktree KeithBudden15. And you'll get all of Keith's contact details through there. That link will also be in the show notes for this episode, along with a link to get his GDPR book. And you can find that, of course, at keithblakemorenoble.com/show. Look for the one with Keith Budden, and you find all the show notes and the links, or just check his Linktree out. Keith, thank you so much for taking the time out to share a very personal story and journey with us. We wish you all the very best. I hope it's in remission for a very long time to come. Let's get you back at some point to explore some of those other areas as well.
Definitely. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Thanks, Keith.
Right. Thank you so much, Keith. And thank you, dear viewer. Thank you, dear listener. Check Keith out. Get all his details. And if you like this episode, please do give us a like, a comment, a share. Subscribe to it on your favorite platform. Give us a review, a rating. It all helps more people to discover the episodes and the shows. That's it for this week. I will catch you in another episode very soon. Until then, take care, look after yourself, and remember, as our guest Keith Budden says, live every day as if it's your last, because one day you'll be right. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.